Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2008. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 101 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini-talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner, the latest of our mini-talks. It is 3 o'clock on Thursday, and next up is Adam Bean. He'll be talking about Underworld, the Java EE5 backend for Wonderland. Take away, Adam.
Okay, my name is Adam Bean. I have actually nothing to do with 3D, Wonderland, or Darkstar. I spend my time in Java E5 projects and work as consultant. I wrote several books about Java EE programming and distributed computing. And, about the history of Underworld, I was inspired the last Java one, and I saw Wonderland, the project, is a 3D world, looks like Second Life. I was really inspired by this. And then I thought about the massive scalability which is required to drive such a project. And it turned out that Wonderland uses Darkstar, is a specific kind of application server which manages the persistence and messaging. And I reviewed the APIs of this Darkstar application server, and turned out they are very, very similar to Java E5 commodity application server. And then the idea was born. So the idea is to port just the APIs to a commodity application server and see what happens. What is Wonderland? Wonderland reminds me as a Second Life application, a 3D virtual reality. But it's not only a game. From my perspective, it's a communication tool. It's open source, and it's very easy to build. I just checked out everything, fire up end, and it runs on my laptop. Wonderland uses client-server communication protocol. It's not peer-to-peer, but client-server, and it uses messaging for that. So it's asynchronous. Sends messages back and forth between the client and the server. The server is used as communication hub. Wonderland uses another open source project called Darkstar, and Darkstar receives the messages and sends messages back to the client. Darkstar was designed for online games, so it is built for massive scalability. However, Darkstar APIs are proprietary, so they look like JMS, but they are different because of namespaces. And they are very, very similar to Java E5. So seeing Wonderland and seeing Darkstar and my Java E5 projects, the idea was born just to try it on a commodity application server. Underworld.dev.java.net is a GPL V3 project. Owners am I and my brother. Stand up. So. And we built Darkstar for about 2 months. And we managed to send messages back and forth between Wonderland and Darkstar. And status now is experimental because we have some open questions we would like to issue, like transactions, distributed transactions, and asynchronous programming. But so far, is everything doable. So we do not see any problems. We're using NetBeans 6.1 for development because Subversion integration and build system, and Glassfish feed V2 because it's released now, and we plan in future releases to either provide support for V3, either wrapped Darkstar inside Glassfish, or just provide Java E5 implementation. That's what's planned. What can happen? So then it would be possible to use Underworld not only for Wonderland, but any other 3D or even game application. The first attempt is just to don't reinvent the wheel and use as much as possible from standardized set of APIs like messaging, transactions, clustering, and persistence. For instance, Darkstar persistence looks very like Java Persistence API in Java E5. So Darkstar Persistence, they are basically objects which uses managed references to link between master and detail relations. In JPA, we have exactly the same semantic, except you do not have to care about the references. they are resolved for you behind the scenes. It is a it is a service which is provided for you by the persistence provider. And the same story with JMS. So JMS in an application server is per default transactional. So if you if you send a message from one component and the end of the transaction, the message will be sent. In case exception happens, the transaction will be rolled back and nothing basically happened. So you do not have to care about this. And what would be nice as well, just to be able to provide plugins on other EGB components or in Glassfish V3 or SGI components and provide additional business logic on the application server. What's also interesting as well could be IOP, interoperability, between for instance, an underworld and another applications. So what we like to use from Glassfish, so what Glassfish has is outstanding monitoring and management. For instance, you are able to monitor the whole stack. So you will see the arrival of a message and invocation from session beans to another session beans. There are the synchronous component until the persistence. What's also great, administration console. So you are able to deploy, redeploy everything in visual manner as well as command line interface. Failover you get basically for free. So you can start up Glassfish in cluster mode and it clusters by itself. So there's nothing to do actually except configuration. Ease of deployment, so you can just drop our underworld jar to Glassfish and it gets installed. Right now, we just use one and only destination to communicate between client and server, but we're thinking about providing new ones. We already found about 7 different channels, so Darkstan names the queues channels, which we will probably reuse in our application. And scalability, so Glassfish is really scalable. But it's hard to say whether it scales so well as Darkstar. So what happens in case our approach would be not good enough? So basically, we have two possibilities. Make Glassfish runs faster and be more scalable, or plug our APIs or Darkstar APIs through a standardized set of services. So the idea would be, why not to provide an own JMS messaging service, for instance, from Darkstar One, or just reuse Darkstar persistence over a standardized set of APIs. So we could build something like Glassfish Darkstar Edition or something like that. Why not? The licenses are compatible. Both are GPL. So, yeah, right now, Underworld provides a very lean interface. It's actually only one class. And over this class, we are able to send messages and receive messages using a Bytes message listener. So we encapsulated the whole JMS because it is a little bit outdated and hard to use. So we provide one simple class, and you can send messages back and forth between Wonderland or another application and the server-side representation. And the public API is exposed to Wonderland. What Underworld, if you run Underworld on Glassfish, what do you get for free? First, Glassfish uses OpenMQ. It's a scalable messaging system, which is clusterable as well. It uses Eclipse Link as persistence provider or Toplink Essentials in the V2, which is clusterable as well. And what you get for free is load balancing and failover. We are interested as well to use Wonderland basically as load generator. Why not? If you have Wonderland application, there are many users which access the same server in concurrent manner. So you can use even then Wonderland to generate the load and see what happens on the server, how performant or how scalable the server is. I'm especially interested in this result because it's much better and it's greater fun than use SpecJ or something like this. It's just visually compelling way to test the performance of application servers. So the architecture. So we have a set of principles, as lean, as simple as possible. So we do not have many layers of abstraction, just keep it simple. Dry, don't repeat yourself. So we provide one and only interface and implement this without overusing patterns and stuff like this. Easy installation and deployment, so it's basically 1 year you can think of ERA like a zip, and you drop the zip to the application server, and what would you have right now? A simple administration interface, which only allows to boot the server. And this is the web part, but we are planning to provide Java Server Faces-based admin console. And on the other end are the components, so the persistence, as well as the transactions. Reusability of Glassfish core functionality. As I already said, we would like to rely on non-functional qualities and especially use JMX for monitoring of the stuff. Modular structure. So right now, there is total decoupled the API from the server because we use messaging to send messages back and forth. So basically, we can provide as many channels as we like to, and we have to deploy another message-driven bin on the server side, and so we get another channel. And there are some... What you get basically for free is Visual VM. It is a great monitoring tool. There is a great Glassfish extension, so you can monitor Glassfish. We will try first JavaDB. It is not the best, not the more scalable one, but we can use MySQL or PostgreSQL or even another database as well. Glassfish and Shoal, what Shoal is a clustering server, clustering framework inside Glassfish. We can use this, for instance, to invalidate caches or synchronize caches. So what's interesting, which components we use right now? So for now, we use JMS for asynchronous communication between Wonderland and Darkstar. We use JMX or Servlet. So right now we use Servlet to bootstrap Underworld. The problem in Java E is you cannot actually say start the session bean because there is no something like load and startup. So we have to use Servlet now, and this Servlet invokes the session bean, which starts the process. So then we are going to use JPA probably with a given persistence provider. In case of Glassfish, it would be an Eclipse link or top link. In case in other application server like JBoss, this would be Hibernate and OpenJPA in case, for instance, BA, I want commercial one. What we also consider is, for instance, we could even plug in the whole Darkstar persistence using JCA, Java Connector architecture framework, to Glassfish or even every application server you would like to because it's portable. So why JCA? If we use JCA, the application server would notify us about transactions. So for instance, it would notify us that a message came from Wonderland to our system, and we will using callbacks. So then we can, for instance, propagate these transactions to Darkstar and be able to propagate transactions then. This approach is kind of workaround because this approach is only needed in case the standalone persistence from JPA is not good enough. So, and we use stateless session beans right now, which are synchronous components to receive messages, and they start transactions for us. Yeah, and we use dependency injection to inject resources like JMS queues and to communicate between synchronous components and asynchronous components. Wonderland uses basically channels between client and server. The channels are very similar to destinations. So we have two flavors in Java E. The first one is our queues. Queues are point-to-point or topics, which is public subscribe. So we can actually decide whether you would like to use a dedicated communication channel between Wonderland and Underworld or something like spreading the message in real time over different listeners. Darkstar does, it uses bytes array to be passed back and forth. So it is really easy to map this to JMS because in a JMS system, you have bytes message, so you can wrap every array you would like to and send a message between the client and the server. However, using JMS is not really easy. So you have to look up first the queue, look up connection factory and so forth. So the whole bootstrapping process was encapsulated in a utility class. So what we have to consider whether we would use standard Java E5 persistence, or let's say we would rely on Darkstar almost JPA-like persistence with so-called managed references. So the question remains whether we should be able to traverse the object graph between server or remain in one memory. Okay, the architecture basically, this first component is Wonderland, and the Wonderland component uses Darkstar API because we wouldn't like to change too much Wonderland code on the client side. And the Darkstar API, what we did, we built our own implementation, our own service provider interface, which is very simple, and we call them Shadow Star because it's nothing but a proxy, it's a shadow of the star. And the Shadow Star calls to our API, which encapsulates the whole GMS stuff. It's basically one class. It's very, very simple. And this API forwards the calls to the underworld, to the application server. So this is the basic idea. On the server side, we will have to reconsider, or we will have to think about reusing as much as possible from Darkstar, but some things like transactions, two-phase commit, and so forth can be totally reused from Java E5. So the API is fairly simple. So right now we say underworld open gate, and we need an IP address of underworld, and then you get an underworld back as a kind of factory invocation without having actually the factory. And then we are able to send messages like byte arrays. So you can choose between sending a byte array over the default channel, or you can pass the channel name. On the other hand, we have one method called setbytes message listener, so we can pass one interface for callbacks. So you'll be notified in case the message arrives back. What it didn't address now are sessions. So right now there is a stateless architecture. So one message is sent to all clients. We would like to address this in so-called correlation IDs in the messages. So the basic idea would be that every call to open gate would initiate a new session, compute a new session ID, pass the session ID to the message, and pass the message to the server. So the whole architecture could remain stateless. This is the basic idea. So why the name Hades? The Hades is the name of the Hades. Actually, Hades is the name of Underworld. So it's just because we have already Underworld in our package name, we need something else for a class. So this was the reason to call it Hades. And Kerberos is actually nothing else than renaming the Gengo 4 facade to something more cool. So Shadowstar is something like a proxy which sits on the client and receives the messages and delegates to GMS. And Underworld is the actual server which runs inside the Java E5 and consists right now of message-driven beans, which are receivers. A message-driven receives the message, extracts the message, and passes the message to a session bean, which implements the business logic. So actually, we can unit test everything outside of container without using messaging. And we are thinking about using JPA for default persistence. Okay. Thank you very much. Questions so far?
All right. Are there any questions out here?
Everything clear? Yeah? No question. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Adam B. in Underworld, the Java EE5 backend for Wonderland.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2008 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.